Clinton Wolfe, thanks for joining us today. And my understanding is the cull started yesterday. When is the operation expected to be completed?
I'm not sure on that. We're expecting an update this afternoon. Obviously, we'd like the cull carried out in a timely manner. But I can't give you a definitive answer on that because I'm not sure myself.
No, do you have any idea of, you know, how many horses have been destroyed so far?
Not as yet. What I am firm on is the number in relation to the aerial count, and that was 6,000 horses. And you know, I maintained as I did this morning that you know that was 4 to 6 weeks ago. So as the water surrounding water dries up, more and more horses come in around the lake. So I expect that number to be 6,000 plus. But in terms of how many have culled, I'm not sure at this stage.
Can you explain the detail, the logistics of the operation?
The logistics is basically that the RSPCA is heavily involved. We've got two veterinarians there. I believe that there is two helicopters involved, and that's the standard way of doing culls in Western Australia on pastoral leases. We've just tried to make sure that we've followed to the letter the exact requirements for best practice aerial culling, which we believe, and we've been told by a variety of experts, is the most humane way of dealing with you know, the feral horse population.
Well, how humane is an aerial cull? When you consider that you've got a shooter in a helicopter that's flying in the air trying to take aim at a horse on the run?
Look, I think it's like anything else. Human beings have a wonderful ability to be able to do things very well if they do it time after time. So my understanding is that you know, these people who undertake these tasks are experts in this area and are crack shots, you know, skilled marksmen. So it's as humane as it possibly can be. I mean, you always have a situation. So what's your alternative? That you muster these horses, they're wild. You know, we've had advice that, you know, they're going to injure each other in that process, or, you know, you engage in a grand cull and you have exactly the same issues. It's, you know, basically, this is the most humane way of doing it, and these are the most skilled people in this area, and that's why we're utilising them.
Is there a ground team? So, say, in, you know, the possible scenario of a horse being maimed, there's a ground team that goes in to put them out of their misery?
I think that's why they use the two helicopters, basically. So you've got the first helicopter that goes along and, you know, has got a shooter in it, and he shoots them as humanely as possible. And there's a second helicopter that is just behind that helicopter, making sure that, you know, there's no wounded animals and there's no unnecessary suffering.
Now, all pastoral leases must abide by the rules and regulations of the Pastoral Lands Board. And 3 years ago, the board directed these lessees to remove the horses. Why is it that these leases have been able to continue when in direct breach of the Pastoral Lands Board's instructions, totally ignoring what the board says?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of totally ignoring what the board said. There are a number of issues that, you know, became emotional in terms of, you know, wanting to get rid of the feral horses and having a number of very well-organised and resourced lobby groups lobbying against that. So in terms of the ALT ignoring the voice of the Pastoral Lands Board, I wouldn't say that's entirely accurate. What I would say is that it's been a very emotional and complex issue.
Clinton Wolfe, you're not out on the site today, but you've been out to visit in previous times to have a look at the situation for yourself?
I have been, and look, I've got a personal connection with that country. I'm married to a girl who's, you know, considers part of that her traditional country, and so when I went out there, it's not like I'm walking in somewhere or I don't know the people. I've been out there before for funerals and things like that, and when I got there, there's a number of people there that, you know, I've got a relationship with in terms of, you know, their family to me. And, you know, when they come up to me and they're distressed and saying, you know, you need to help us and, you know, it's ridiculous and we're trying to, you know, get on top of this and, you know, we're trying to get infrastructure in and, you know, we build a fence one day and the next day it's not there because, you know, a huge herd of wild horses is running right through the middle of it. You know, you can see the distress in their eyes and they've had a connection, you know, with these horses, you know, for 120 years, when you see them say, well, you know, we've had enough and, Sure, we want a few horses out here because we want to maintain that connection, but you know, you can't have 6,000-7,000 horses running around. And what was concerning them also is that when there was no water around, horses were coming into the community, and you know, you've got 2-3-year-old kids walking around, and you know, you're not saying, oh, you know, wild horse is aggressive or anything like that, but you've got a wild animal that, you know, suddenly takes fright over, you know, a vehicle going past and takes off and runs over the top of a child. I mean, is anybody going to turn around and say, oh, you know, well, we should put up with that? Because quite clearly we shouldn't. So, you know, there are a number of issues, not just around animal welfare. You know, we've got human safety, you know, the core of what we're trying to protect here. And
so this coal's going to make quite a significant difference to how the stations will operate into the future?
Well, what it will allow us to do is now start putting in the necessary infrastructure. And we want to do that in a way where the community is involved. You've got two communities. You've got a community on Bitoluna and a community on Lake Gregory, and there's a number of people in that community who want to, you know, participate and help rebuild the station. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities that can derive from this, and it's unfortunate that, you know, we've had to do the things that we've done, but, you know, we want to have these stations up to scratch. So when the pastoral lands boards come around, they say, no, you're not in breach anymore, well done. And in 2015, that, you know, we pass what looks to be a fairly onerous test in terms of our pastoral lease being renewed. And I'm sure if you talk to other pastoralists, you'll say that those new rules are a lot more onerous than what they were previously.
Are you confident that feral horse numbers won't build to similar levels into the future?
Look, no one can ever say they're completely confident, but we've got a feeling that if we get on top of the bulk of them, we've already had discussions with Kimberley Land Council rangers who are saying that as part of their, you know, duty statement that they're prepared to, you know, participate moving forward so that we absolutely keep a handle of all of this. So, you know, it's good to see Kimberley Land Council and the rangers and the community step up and say, you know, we really need to, you know, do what we can to, you know, assist the people moving forward.
Clinton Wolfe, good to talk to you today.
Thank you very much, Belinda. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.